honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I'm your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back and board with you once again today. Well, back to kind of the grayish sun poking through a tiny bit. Timberwolves had a nice week, at least on the court. Off the court, well, we'll get to that in a second. Otherwise, the Timberwolves did, as I predicted, sweep the three games against Cleveland, Golden State, and Detroit. 3-0 this past week. That's the good news. The bad news, depending on how you feel about Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez versus Glenn Taylor, it appears the sale has fallen through at the moment. We'll see. Pending litigation, Glenn Taylor says the team is no longer for sale. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We don't get fooled again. No, 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 no. Okay, sorry. Basically, I don't know what to say, honestly. I was thinking of talking about a team that went 3-0 this past week and is moving back into, possibly number one seed with an upcoming game versus the Denver Nuggets. Now things are a little bit, a little bit on the funky side here. So, great. But, it is what it is. We're going to talk about the games a bit, but obviously we got to talk about the Glenn Taylor situation as well. How do I go about this? I don't know. I guess we'll open up with the Glenn Taylor situation. I guess so. I mean, what else can we say? Obviously, A-Rod and Mark Lowry are pissed off, obviously. There's conflicting points of view here. There's conflicting messages here, which again tells you this is going to litigation. There's no doubt about it. Glenn Taylor said they missed the deadline, and too bad, screw you, it's over. But, of course, you get to maintain the 36% you own and the team, which I'm sure they're just thrilled about that idea. The team's no longer for sale. So on and so forth. And they're basically like, hey, we had a deal. Everything was actually in place. So what the hell? So, yeah, where do we go about that? According to John Krasinski, from a spokesperson, so this is, of course, now jumping into Twitter for a moment. I'll save the rest for a fan interaction coming out. From a spokesperson on behalf of Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, we are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season. Kind of agree with that. As to what really was going on and all that, there was a group that pulled out not too long ago that was that was going to have a $300 million stake in the Mark Lowry, Alex Rodriguez group that was going to own the team. But apparently they had already found a replacement along the way. Ongoing conversations from the John Krasinski's and Doogie Wolfson's of the world that apparently there wasn't a whole lot of contact the past year or so, and that the relationship between Glenn Taylor, Mark Lowry, and Alex Rodriguez has kind of deteriorated over the past year or so. And again, that Glenn Taylor was leaving messages and such, and they weren't responding, which is not good. I don't like that either. So is Glenn Taylor telling the truth? Who knows? But once again, Glenn Taylor at the center of things when it comes to frustrations. At the end of the day, strange deals going on. So is Glenn Taylor just kind of a crooked old rich man, which some of the powerful rich type people got rich by making, you know, by being kind of on the crooked side a little bit, you know, bending the rules, so to speak. And it's happened quite a bit forever. I mean, look at Bill Gates. Did Bill Gates go about things the right way, along with his quote-unquote friend, whatever his name is, the former owner of Apple, who passed away with cancer? Steve Jobs. Pardon me, I'm like blanking here for a second. No, they stole the software from somebody else, and then boom. Then they, you know, and notice how Apple and Windows are obviously very convenient and easy to use and such compared to like DOS or something. They didn't go about things really completely honestly either. They just kind of played some legal games, got away with it, and became multi billionaires. And it's kind of annoying actually to see that kind of stuff going on. But unfortunately, in the business world, that's kind of more of a reality than we'd like to know. At the end of the day, Glenn Taylor, he on the microphone, say, like conversations with Chad Hartman, conversations with Doogie Wolfson and whoever, sounds like a kind of a pleasant guy, not a bad person, this and that, open and such. Supposedly behind the scenes, he's a very ruthless businessman, you know, who could, you know, cut your throat to come ahead. And it's kind of sad to come ahead in a deal. And unfortunately, again, that's kind of how business is in a lot of ways. That's why a lot of businessmen are not really popular in this world, because, again, the way they go about things sometimes, not the best. And believe me, all this great tax everybody thing, these way higher up people, regardless if they're on the right or left, find a way to cheat the system. They do, believe me. So, they do. Oh, do they ever. The overseas nonsense, but that's for another that's for another podcast with the initials FOT. We'll leave that where that is. FOT, yeah. The initials of the podcast anyway, but there are conflicting, you know, there's like two sides of the story, so to speak. Glenn Taylor's side, obviously, again, they were too late, and I have every right to pull out, and at the same time, you know, obviously, it was undervalued. That's the, in a lot of ways, that's the elephant in the room. The Timberwolves sale here was supposed to be $1.5 billion. And, of course, a very unique situation where it wasn't all paid in a lump sum, so to speak. It was more of like a chunk. Though, in a lot of ways, I wouldn't doubt that stuff is paid in chunks as well, but it's probably faster than 2-3 years and such. Like, this all started in 2021. Everything seemed all pleasant and exciting, and now here we are. Obviously, a lot of the positive changes that have taken place the last few years were Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez driven, not Glenn Taylor driven. A lot of the stagnancy of this franchise is Glenn Taylor driven, regardless if we like it or not. I mean, I remember going in Target Center in 2015, I believe it was, around that time, and there were still tube TVs, you know? Can you believe that? Tube TVs, yeah. Obviously, the Wolves were losing a ton of money years ago, and every year they were coming way, way in the red. But let's move on from that part of the conversation. But, the contention is Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez say everything was there. Everything is there. Glenn Taylor is saying, you didn't meet the deadline, so to speak, regardless if it's pending approval or not. You didn't make it, so I can do whatever I want. And obviously, $1.5 billion, this team's probably worth $2.5 billion or even beyond that. So why the heck should I make this deal? If I have a way to squeeze out of this thing at the last second to maybe, you know, either hang on to the franchise and enjoy the fun, which is basically what he wants to do. That's basically what he's saying, paraphrasing. And he wants to be a part of that, you know, the way the team has completely transformed the past few years. Whereas Mark Laurie, you know, and of course the possibility of making another sale at a later day, that things could definitely come much more positively, maybe over $3 billion instead of $1.5 going forward in the next 5 years or something like that. I'm just guessing and conversating about that. Again, even like the hiring of Mike Conley and such, Tim Conley, not Mike Conley, who traded for Mike Conley. Yeah, Mike Conley's the president of basketball. No, the president on the court too. Just kidding. But no, that was Mark Laurie. That was Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez. Moves like that and possibly bringing Garnett back in the fray. No chance that happens now. What really happened with Glenn Taylor And Kevin Garnett after Flip Saunders passing. It's hard to say. Maybe, again, it's like, well, the deal can't be done now. Flip's gone. You know, nothing you can do about it. So on and so forth. I didn't make the promises. Flip did. I don't like Garnett's attitude. I really don't. In fact, my feelings towards him as a fan deteriorated about 20 years ago. I'm not even kidding you. And that probably is not something Timberwolves fans want to hear. On a show, on a Timberwolves Explosion, Timberwolves podcast, but, you know, I haven't liked his attitude for a while. I'm just telling you. Obviously, I appreciated what he brought to the court, but it was, you know, did Glenn Taylor kind of swindle his way out of, like, an agreement? I guess so. Again, Garnett handling it a little bit in a crazy way. I guess so as well. Anyhow, let's get back to the games. We'll continue into this with a fan interaction segment as we move forward. sorry, so I'm seeing something here, but let's keep going. Three games to review, four games to preview. So definitely an interesting episode. New boss is the same. Meet the new boss, the same as the old boss. Yep. And of course, like in the, you know, in a lot of ways too, sometimes you get like a new boss at work and they're the same BS. You know, they might sound different at first. Their appearance might be different, but they're all the same bullcrap. Like, oh, nope, sorry, can't do this, can't do that, da-da-da-da-da, can't do this, can't do that, too bad, so sad. It's, you know, whatever. So yeah, but say that company slogan over and over and over again, and over and over, and come to every meeting, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun. March 22nd, the Timberwolves had their rematch against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, this has been an ongoing conversation as well. I believe this was on the Locked On Wolves. Forgive me if the stat is incorrect, but since the whole Cleveland situation last time around, when Rudy Gobert, Cleveland game last time around, when Rudy Gobert did the, you know, money roll sign, like, oh, what, are you betting money on the game? I know you guys do that. You know, it's kind of along that line. You know, are you betting money on the game, huh? Yeah, uh-huh. And then ever since then, the Timberwolves free throws have been, you know, compared to their opponents, the free throw discrepancy. The Timberwolves were in the top, you know, 10 at the very least in free throws attempted. Since then, with their opponents, they're a minus 68. So they've attempted 68 less free throws since the last Cleveland game, apparently. I believe that was the stat that was put on. So citing Locked On Wolves, obviously he found that on a different thing. So analytics conversation and such. But yeah, anyway, the Timberwolves win comfortably over Cleveland, even though the game wasn't particularly comfortable the whole time around. There were some runs, there was some back and forth, but the defense really clamped down, keeping Cleveland to only 17 points in that third quarter, and the Wolves pulled away along the way in the second half. First half was a little scary heading into halftime. Cleveland did have the lead. Cleveland's a very good basketball team, but so were the Minnesota Timberwolves at the end of the day. Oh, Lord, people love distracting me during the show. It's ridiculous. So we'll continue. I apologize. But no, Timberwolves come out feeling okay in this one. Mike Conley was distributing the ball all over the place. He actually led the club in scoring, if you can believe it. 21 points. Total team effort in this one at the end of the day. This is one of those team effort type of games because Anthony Edwards shot 6 of 17. So kind of had to be that way. Along with Anthony Edwards kicking the ball around, moving around, and getting 13 rebounds. So nice to see Anthony Edwards doing the other things, as they say, including turning the ball over. But the Wolves only had 11 turnovers in the game, so great ball protection. Sadly, Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards had 8 of those turnovers. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. Conley had zilch, but the 6 assists. So wonderful. Kyle Anderson, 5 assists, 0 turnovers. Jordan McLaughlin, 4 assists, 0 turnovers. Monte Morris, 3 assists, 0 turnovers. So moving the ball around all over the place. NAW, 0 assists, 1 turnover, and no points. Missed 2 three-pointers in the game and had 4 personal fouls. So he struggled offensively, but only attempted 2 threes in the entire game. No other shots at all. Monte Morris made 1 single three-pointer and was helpful controlling the ball. Kyle Anderson with that, Scottie Pippen-ish type of game again with good defense and moving the ball around. Also managed 3 steals, as did Jaden McDaniels with some clutch defensive plays throughout the course of this game. And that third quarter was fantastic. Again, keeping Cleveland to 17 in the third quarter. And the Wolves pull out this one pretty good. Naz Reid with some corner threes and such. And a couple of, you know, not just a, like top of the, well, not top of the key, but the arc. 3 of 8. 18 points starting at the power forward position and winning the basketball game. Rudy Gobert would also get 15 points. 15 rebounds, pardon me, only 9 points. and Yahoo is doing its Yahoo-like thing. This one you could call Golden State Warriors Sunday, March 24th. Happy birthday, Paul Kaniff. Unfortunately for him, again, 44 years of age. Gosh, the years are adding up so quickly. I'm turning 45 in July, but it's not about me. Happy birthday, Paul. Belated in this case, of course, now. But yes, I made sure to let him know happy birthday at the time as well. Close friend of mine, of course, and yes, he's a Wolves fan. Not sure if he, I don't think he listens to this show, unfortunately, but he has before, especially many years ago, and me and Marcus used to be, you know, because as a mutual friend, Marcus, the forecaster, used to do this show, and oh, those were good times. I missed it dearly, but what are you going to do? Nasrida Garnettish effort, 20 points, 12 rebounds. Didn't get the 5 assists or anything like that, but did add a couple blocks. Nice overall performance by Nasri in making multiple threes. And Anthony Edwards distributing the ball all over the place with those kickouts as he drives to the basket, draws the defenders, and kicks it out. Conley also 7 assists. 15 assists for your backcourt, your starting backcourt, and Anthony Edwards and Michael Conley. Incredible. 4 steals for Conley as well. The rebounding was insanely frustrating in this game. Even though Nasri and Gobert both wound up with 12, that's great. Edwards with 6. Kyle Anderson with 6. Insanely frustrating. The Warriors kept getting offensive rebounds and such, and the Wolves were not getting them, it felt like, but it was better than I thought. But yeah, the Wolves didn't get that many offensive rebounds in this game. Only 7. That's not great. The Warriors had 7. Weird. That's really weird. It felt like we got killed in the rebounding, but as the game progressed, the Wolves actually did win the rebounding battle. During the course of that fourth quarter, things changed pretty dramatically. The Timberwolves trailed by 12 in this game at points, but as we headed into that fourth quarter, things changed fairly dramatically as the Wolves definitely put the clamps down on the Warriors. The Warriors started missing shots. Klay Thompson, after being kind of dangerous early, started hitting him and started clanging him like I want him to do. He actually came off the bench. Yeah, 3 of 11. I mean, he was Klay Thompson, 6 of 15, and he did miss an attempt to try to tie the game and push it into OT. But thankfully that just was not meant to be. And the Timberwolves escaped this one by 4 points. Bit of a back and forth. Andrew Wiggins had a pretty solid game, generally speaking. But it's like at the end of the day, so you're watching the game and it's like, ah, man, he's hitting those mid-range shots and such, and he's getting to the free throw line. But at the end of the day, only 4 rebounds and 15 points. I mean, that's kind of Andrew Wiggins with the Wolves most of the time. Most of the time, that's pretty much what Andrew Wiggins did, though he did add 2 steals. He was tough at times. Even Steph Curry, not so great down the stretch, though he was dangerous. But, you know, there were some very frustrating points in the game when the Wolves kept getting closer and closer, but then the Warriors would, you know, kind of maintain their lead, getting offensive rebounds and kicking it back out to Steph Curry, who just missed a 3, would then hit it, of course. It's like he's going to hit it now, and he did, and it was annoying. Similar situations with Klay Thompson, 3 of 11 from the floor, or from outside, excuse me, Klay. That's why I called him Klay Thompson. I'm just sorry, his shot isn't what it used to be. Sorry, I'm not a fan. Sorry, I'm not a fan. Never have been, never will be. Boo, I hate the Warriors. I said it again for the 450,000th time, or just the 450th maybe, but it's probably closer to 450,000. Gary Payton II, yep, 8 rebounds in the game and 7 assists. Yeah, so it's like guys like that getting those long rebounds are super annoying. Like, get the damn rebound. Stop giving them second chances, and that's why the Warriors maintained their lead for such a long stretch. Partially, they were winning a lot of the hustle points, and the Wolves just simply weren't. But then, as the game progressed, the Wolves started winning the hustle points, and the Warriors weren't. And who won the basketball game? The team that won the hustle points as the game progressed, I suppose, and the team that actually was making their shots a little more than the other one. Starting to sound like John Madden describing a football game. You get the 10 yards, that's a first down, and then you score a touchdown. You know, that'll help you win. Well, it does. Yeah, I know. John Madden. And then you draw the line over here, and he does this and does that. So there's a bit of that. Jonathan Kuminga, yeah, I'm not crying about it. It sucks giving up high draft picks to teams and such, just to get rid of a guy and then acquire another one that was kind of an obnoxious person, apparently. Flip Saunders couldn't stand him, by the way, and neither could Ryan. That's not news, because the guy's annoying. D'Angelo Russell is annoying. He is. ask Vince Germano. Ask Vinrock Vince Germano. Yep, ask him. Los Angeles Lakers, yeah, he's back. I know that D'Angelo Russell's back on the Lakers again. Just ask him. He said, bloody hell. That was the first thing he said when he found out about the trade. He said, bloody hell. What does that tell you? That doesn't mean, yes, we got him. Yeah. So, and Flip and Ryan, I think, are saying bloody hell as well, the thought of him being on the team. God rest Flip's soul, and congratulations, Ryan Saunders, once again on getting a ring last year. Hopefully the Timberwolves can help prevent that from happening this time around. No offense, but I want a ring too, damn it. Or at least the team getting a ring. And Glenn Taylor wants to be the guy receiving the Larry O'Brien trophy if this club goes all the way this year and gets it done. Yes, he does. And I'll be sipping the lemon and the tomato juice if and when that happens. You betcha I will be. Maybe more in a Shaletta form, though, where it's just like a light beer in it. So, yeah, you know, but Shalettas are delicious, though. My goodness. Yeah, and I put lemon or lime in those with celery salt. Priceless. Priceless. Just the absolute flavor is priceless. But the Wolves were, obviously, again, what started to win in the hustle points, the game kind of changed again. You know, the game changed because of that. You know, we were the team out-hustling the other team as the game progressed. And, of course, the Wolves' superior talent at this stage got the job done. Anthony Edwards, again, moving the ball around. And Naz Reid with those catch-and-shoot threes. So, such a big thing to have Naz Reid healthy. Like, around this time last year, I think maybe it's not quite a year ago yet, but close, is when Naz Reid broke his wrist. And let me tell you, that was devastating. And everybody listening that was watching the Wolves last year knows how much that hurt. And it really, you know, it damaged the Wolves' chances to possibly have a higher seed so we don't get stuck playing Denver. And also, again, giving Denver a hell of a time if and when we had to play them anyway. Can the Wolves win a playoff series versus Denver? I think we can. But it'd be hard, but I think we can. Nothing's easy. Ain't nothing easy in this world. The Bulls had a hard time with the New York Knicks. So so it is what it is. One of the best franchises of all time, or best teams of all, you know, eras of basketball. The 90s Bulls. The Knicks gave them a hard time, but the Bulls got the job done. That was coffee that time, sorry. But, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, yeah, what a X-factor he was in this game. I mean, he was a huge reason the Wolves escaped. It felt like $1 million. Some of those threes he was hitting, those catch-and-shoot, corner threes. Oh, thank you, Lord. 3 of 5 from outside, 11 points. Didn't have really anything until the fourth quarter, but NAW got the job done. And thank you, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, for a great fourth quarter. And again, Naz Reid, 6 of 8 from downtown. Anthony Edwards, 4 of 8 as well. He struggled for a while, and some of those annoying heat check plays. It is what it is, though. I mean, Andy Edwards is an amazing player, obviously. It's nice to hear people coming around and saying he's going to be the best player in franchise history. It feels good. It feels good. Not trying to hate on Kevin Garnett, but again, I mean, you know, I just think that Anthony Edwards is on the right track for that. You know, God willing, Anthony Edwards is on the right track for that. He is. Simply. I mean, you know, he's not this, you know, he's not James Harden, who plays absolutely no defense, basically. You know, so he's not James Harden like that, where maybe he's amazing on offense, you know, and this and that, but his defense is pathetic and embarrassing. That's why the guy has no rings, frankly. Anthony Edwards has become one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. Certainly not perfect, but he's become one of the absolute best. And one of the biggest highlights of the entire season was a LeBron James come-from-behind block to end it versus the Indiana Pacers. And you heard our old color commentator who went to Indiana, Quinn Buckner, old Quinn Buckner, you know, like back 30 years ago with Kevin Harlan, saying, oh, man, the defensive, Anthony Edwards with a defensive play. That was cool. That was fun. I mean, I love Quinn Buckner. I miss him. But up there with Indiana, and he did play with the Hoosiers many years ago, so it makes sense. I guess that's the connection. Legendary Hoosier with them before being a Boston Celtic. The Timberwolves, though, emerge victorious and defeat the Golden State Yuck City Warriors and sweep the season series. sweep the season series. What do you think of that, huh? What do you think? What do you think? Oh, yes. Okay, so let's keep moving. The Detroit Pistons. Well, the Timberwolves got swept by the Detroit Pistons last year. One of the reasons why the Wolves didn't win 50 games last season. One of the many reasons the Wolves didn't win 50 games. We got swept by the Pistons. We got swept by the Pistons last year. Do you realize that? Just let that sink in. We got beat by Houston at least twice. Houston was putrid, pitiful, yuck. Ugh. Washington Wizards. Remember our pathetic record against like the four worst teams in basketball? Who are still like, well, Houston's better this year. They're actually knocking on the door. What are they, 9-1 in their last 10? So they might knock someone out of there, like Golden State or something. Wouldn't that be crazy? But Detroit, no, they're not in any position to do that at the moment. What do they have, 12 wins all season? And it's not November or December. They have 12 wins, and it's almost April. Let that sink in. They still have a chance to lose 70 games, but I don't think they will. But they could. That's the funny part. They still could. They won't. Anyhow, they just need to win one game, and they're out of the 70 loss doldrums of basketball hell. 106-91 victory in a game that was closer than it should have been. Damn it, anyway. But the third quarter on the Wolves' side again. A 17-point second quarter by the Timberwolves. Yowza. The Wolves were, what, up by 2 points? That was a little Aussie there. Yowza. Yeah, sorry. At least I think it is. The Wolves led by 2 points at the half versus the Detroit Pistons. But the good news is you had 24 minutes of basketball remaining in the Target Center. This isn't the Wolves, yay, the Kevin Garnett, Wally Szczerbiak Timberwolves that found ways to lose games like this. Sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but that team didn't, I don't know, they just didn't have it, you know? They didn't have what this team does. They didn't have it. They didn't have the killer instinct that this team has. They simply didn't. Wally would put the ball on the floor too much. Garnett wouldn't shoot enough at times. And when he did, it felt like he was forcing it. But most of the time, he just wouldn't take the shot when you thought it was there for him. And just there was no takeover ability where sometimes, you know, where you feel you have that in so many ways with Anthony Edwards and even some other players that are willing to step in and make a big play, hit the big shot like a Naz Reid and such. Anthony Edwards had a play in this game as he drove up to the... He got into the paint just around the free throw line and such. And he looked like Hakeem Olajuwon. He stopped, pivoted, back and forth, and then went around and was able to get the ball off and in. It was, I believe it was a fadeaway. Unbelievable. He looked. It looked like Hakeem Olajuwon. There are plays of Hakeem Olajuwon doing that, getting close to the rim. You know, he received the ball, you know, stop on the pivot, and then make one move after another before getting the man to fall off of him and hit the shot. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was the play of the game. There's no doubt about it, and one of the best plays of the whole night, I'm sure, in the NBA. Jaden McDaniels, another 20-point effort. Naz Reid, 21 again. Amazing. Crazy to think, Anthony Edwards only had 9 points in this game. It was kind of like a miniature load management, you could say, as the Wolves would build a comfortable lead and got away with this one. Only one three-pointer made by Anthony Edwards, 4 of 11, less than 10 points, which is kind of a bummer. I remember Garnett had a streak that went on forever about the double-digit thing. It got to a point that it got stressful and stupid at times, where he would panic late in the game. Oh my God, we got to keep this going! You know, it was stupid because it could cost you the game in a close game. And he'd be, whoa, he got to 10 or 11, whatever, yay. Naz Reid only 1 of 8 from downtown, but still managed 21 points, 9 of 8 overall, which is actually outstanding when you consider you subtract the 8 attempts. And then 1, yeah, geez, he was 8 of 10 from 2-point range in the game, you know, getting close to the basket and such, you know, driving, dunking, you know, some mid-range shots and such. He was 8 of 10 in the 2-point land. That's amazing. Actually, it's an amazing statistic. Wolves only attempted 16 free throws in the game. That's kind of weird. But still emerged victorious and 51% from the floor overall. 5 assists by Kyle Anderson again. Yep, kind of Garnett-ish there, but only 4 rebounds. Rudy Gobert, 14. Anthony Edwards, again, it fell, and Mike Conley, and that's fine when you have Jordan McLaughlin and Monte Morris both filling in for more than a quarter, you could say, at times. If Mike Conley can rest and you end up coming out comfortably winning, I mean, why the hell not, you know? That's good. Obviously somebody that's 36 years of age and you want to keep him for another 2 years and hopefully get a ring or two during that time, that'd be great. Walker, not from Boston, or doesn't play for Boston either. Hopefully won't need to. He'll be here the rest of his career, hopefully. A very long, successful career. 3 of 7 from downtown, 4 of 9 overall with 11 points. Again, Jaden with 20. Wonderful game for him. 3 of 7 from downtown, just like NAW. Jordan McLaughlin's become a nice corner three shot as well. He's been hitting threes of late. It's nice, you know. It's nice to see Jordan McLaughlin becoming that kind of guy again. He was that a couple years ago, and then was it last year? He was just putrid. I thought he was done, not coming back, and then there he is, and he's doing well. So nice to see Jordan McLaughlin hanging on and hitting some corner threes, also while guiding the offense as well as he does. It's a nicely run offense with these three-point guards. It really is Conley, Morris, and McLaughlin. It's nice. It's nicely done. T.J. Warren has been inked for the rest of the season. He only had, he didn't even attempt a shot and had one rebound and a personal foul in 7.5 minutes. Interesting. Luka Garza going against his former club. Got a point, obviously, coming in the garbage time at the end where the Wolves and the Pistons emptied the bench. Only Garza scored in the game. One steal for Josh Minot. Good for him. Leonard Miller, future rotation player, I'm sure, along with Minot. Yeah, there's going to be minutes for those guys. Minot's minutes. That sounds like a podcast. No, it sounds like a segment, a tiny segment in a podcast. Minot's minutes. Yeah, well, Minot's minutes hopefully will get bigger as we move forward. The Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode, it could easily go to Anthony Edwards. I think it's going to Naz Reid, even though the 1 of 8 in this game still was a massive factor and led the Wolves in scoring versus the Detroit Pistons. 21 points. The Naz Reid will get the Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode. The Johnny Flynn Memorial, you know, it's if Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie are telling the truth, if they're telling the truth that they had everything going, Glenn Taylor is getting a nice, juicy, steaming pile of, he's getting one of those type of awards. A big, giant Johnny Flynn Memorial. If Glenn Taylor's telling the truth and these guys messed this whole thing up, well, that's on them. And they get the Johnny Flynn Memorial. So it's a pending Johnny Flynn Memorial, but it's probably as big of one as you're going to get, pretty much, other than guys shooting like crap throughout the week. T.J. Warren, otherwise, it's you. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I can't pick on T.J. Warren, really. What's the point? I don't think it's really a player. It's one of the owners. It's one of the ownership deals here. Whoever screwed this up is getting it. If it's Glenn Taylor pulling out at the last second, taking the ball and leaving the court, yeah, I'm going home. You know, taking the ball and going home, that's on you, Glenn. Ah, that's on you, Glenn Taylor. We had a deal in place, and they were a little late there with that one. So I want to be a part of the future of the franchise. Yeah, that's Glenn Taylor right there. So we'll see. We'll see who who wins this litigation. Maybe A-Rod and Mark Lurie. Mark Lurie is really the lead in the two, honestly. Mark Lurie and A-Rod. We'll see if they somehow win this and still emerge as the Timberwolves owners. I think 99.9% of the Timberwolves fan base would be okay with that. Was there rumors possibly why Glenn Taylor may have pulled out, the possibility that these guys might have been trying to move the team? But conversation is, this franchise is not moving because the NBA, the Board of Governors, will get nothing out of that. But with the expansion of, and why not expand when you have the NHL already has 32 teams. They might come up to 33, 34 with another expansion coming up, possibly like Atlanta and Utah or Houston or something. The NBA, obviously there's two major cities that are going to have an NBA club. And I don't think it's because teams are going to relocate. It's because it will be expansion where the NBA Board of Governors will receive large checks, including the Timberwolves. We're one of the teams. We'll be receiving large checks for those franchises coming into the NBA because those franchises have to pay in. You know, I mean, somebody has to pay for it, or has to pay for it. So whoever the new owner is of those franchises, the expansions of the two cities called Seattle and Las Vegas, which I didn't mention, but you figured that out already. That's what's going to happen, though. Seattle and Las Vegas are going to be expansion clubs, period. They're not moving. The Timberwolves are not moving. And if they did, I'd be very shocked. It sounds like relocation is becoming more of a thing of the past. I don't think the NHL even wants to leave Arizona, which is kind of crazy considering they're playing in like a tiny, tiny arena at the moment. They want to figure things out there. But that's for Brave the Wild, which I recorded yesterday. Check it out. Me and Derek Felska had a whopper of an episode. I had Derek Felska on, Derek of Creasiness's podcast. So if you want to hear some hockey conversation as well, it's there, Brave the Wild. So, yeah, with all that said, the new boss is the same as the old boss. Let's preview four upcoming games and get to fan interaction and hear what all of you had to say. Very long first segment, but what did you expect? We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Time to move right along, at least humanly possible. Four games to preview. I'll try not to babble my head off here, except for this one. The Denver Nuggets. No, I'm kidding. Denver Nuggets, Friday night in Ball Arena. Oh, goody. We're going to have a ball at Ball. Rudy Gobert, rib, but he's healthy and playing. Anthony Edwards back now. And Karl Anthony Towns, the meniscus surgery to be reevaluated in early April, I guess. Supposedly coming up here early to mid-April. Nikola Jokic back, but I'm sure he's going to play. Jamal Murray, ankle, we'll see. That's we'll see what happens there. So it's like these guys are on the injury report. Rudy and Ant, they're on the injury report and such, but it's probably more of like, yeah, there's something there, but it's like they're probable type of thing. I'm guessing that's a similar with Jokic at the back. Not sure what the case is with Jamal Murray. God, this is annoying. All because I can't turn the damn sound off because I'm waiting for something else. Yeah. Sorry, am I stupid? I'm gonna turn it off. Hell with it. It's annoying. Jamal Murray, yep, the ankle situation as of March 23rd. So on and so forth. Yep, so Denver lost recently to the Phoenix Suns. Kind of like that. Not sure. I'm going to look at... Yeah, I'm going to have to screw myself up for the upcoming games here real quick. Jamal Murray did not play. So we might get away from playing against Jamal Murray tonight. We'll see. It's an ankle situation. It's a split season series. The Timberwolves had a very convincing win, and that started this season off to the path it got to. Before that, the Wolves looked awfully disappointing starting the year 1-2, but then you had that 110-89 victory on Wednesday, November the 1st, and the rest has been history. It's been a historically wonderful season. So the Wolves win their 51st game. It's the second best record in franchise history. No, it's tied with the second best record in franchise history. And the Wolves win 52 is officially second. 58 is the all-time franchise record set in 2004. Denver Nuggets emerged victorious recently, Tuesday, March the 19th. Two games remaining, including tonight's game, and then Wednesday, April the 10th. An epic effort by a team that was very depleted. No Rudy Gobert, no Karl Anthony Towns, and the Wolves still almost won the basketball game. An incredible effort. One of those great moral victories of the year, but both of these games were in Target Center. Denver has a chance of winning this series because they'll both be in Denver. That sucks. Hopefully the Wolves can get the job done at the end of Le Day. Why can't they show the Western Conference? Okay, here we go. Yeah, Denver is a half game ahead of the Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe the Wolves have some kind of tiebreaker over OKC. Lady won't stop. Anyhow. God help me. Anyhow, Denver 51-22, first in the Northwest. Wolves 50-22, second in the Northwest. So literally a game in hand, as they say in hockey all the time. That's one of the biggest cop-outs in the NHL. Oh, we can still make it. We got two games in hand. Enough of the games in hand. Just win games, I guess. Win games or go away. Yeah, enough of that. That's that team. Denver Nuggets, obviously, if it's true that our friend, I think I am okay. I didn't screw myself up. If it's true that Jamal Murray isn't playing tonight, the Wolves have an advantage, no doubt. And he has missed a lot of games. He often does. He's, you know, obviously he had the ACL that cost him forever. In the NBA, that's often two seasons, which is ridiculous. But considering the way they cut and such, play it all with their crossover dribbles and this and that, I can understand to a point. Obviously, the movement of the knee, the lateral movement of the knee, is crucial, and an ACL is a lateral movement gone wrong, literally. So, anyhow, the league MVP, the reigning MVP, and all that, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, 26 points, 12.5 rebounds, 9 assists. Yep, he's the version of Arvydas Sabonis that we didn't get to see, like the younger, healthier version of Arvydas Sabonis, not the older, you know, beat-down version that we got with the Portland Trailblazers later in his career. That's pretty much what Jokic is in a lot of ways, because Arvydas Sabonis could have been in, you know, league MVP if he was here in his younger days. That's what basically everybody on the planet says that was able to see him. Anyhow, comparisons, the Wolves are 18th in scoring, Denver is 14th, Wolves 11th in rebounding, Denver 9th. Three-point percentage, Wolves are 3rd, Denver 11th. Assists per game, Wolves 16th, Denver 4th. Turnovers, Wolves 21st, yeah, it's stupid. Turnovers 4th for Denver, they protect the ball. They're number 1 in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio, the Wolves are 21st. It's, you know, that's an elephant in the room right here going into this game. It really is. Ball protection. You know, we can beat this team. So go out and do so, please. You know, protect the ball. And you have a backcourt. Well, not including Anthony Edwards when it comes to protecting the ball all the time. But you have the three-point guards that are generally pretty damn good at it. Conley, McLaughlin, and Morris. You got a shot here to win this basketball game, protecting the ball and making plays, obviously. Anthony Edwards is obviously his key as it comes, becoming one of the best players in the league. Blocks, Wolves are 6th, Denver is 11th. Steals, Wolves are 11th, Denver is 22nd. I want to step out in faith and believe this team can win this basketball game. And the great effort last time around made a huge difference. Denver says that we basically gave them the biggest, that we gave them more problems than anybody else, including the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. So that's a compliment and it's a good sign. We match up pretty good with Denver. We keep things close. The Timberwolves anyway, we. The Timberwolves keep things very close with the Denver Nuggets and have a legitimate shot at winning this one. Kind of did the Jokic rules last time around. We'll see if we come with that same approach because we almost won the game. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. How the Jordan rules. Like, okay, Michael, go ahead and take your 40 shots, but we're going to shut everyone else down and see what you can do. And it didn't. That's how Detroit prevented Michael Jordan from winning championships in the late 80s in 1990. 91, it was over. Jordan, the floodgates were open, and Jordan was ready to win championships in very high numbers. Very high numbers. I will pick the Timberwolves to win this game. It might seem homerish, it might seem this and that, but again, it's a good matchup. I think this team comes out hungry. There's no doubt about it. You're not going to get the half-ass effort that sometimes, no, not necessarily Garnett during those days of the Garnett, Zerbiak, Krill, Brandon, but just generally speaking. Maybe Garnett would have a meh game, like it wasn't one of his best games, and then other players would not help him, would not help at all, and that was the time where I think this team currently has enough positive leadership all around that can get the job done to defeat a championship team and maybe possibly become one ourselves. And games like this right here are those huge checkpoints during the course of a regular season, potentially leading towards that home court advantage in the Western Conference and such. So it's just an absolutely huge, 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 huge game. It's the biggest game of the year so far. It just simply is. It is the biggest game of the year so far. There's big games coming again Wednesday the 10th, pardon me, and I believe we play OKC at least one more time, I think, and other high-end teams in the Western Conference that we got to, jockey for position and such. Timberwolves will escape with a victory. Final score, 110 to, this might go to OT. Let's say overtime. 121 to 118. The Timberwolves emerge victorious. Anthony Edwards with 35. Nas Reed with 25. Big, 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 big performance in the Wolves with an epic overtime battle. And luckily we don't have to give up a point like we do in the National Hockey League. Sunday, March the 31st, the month of March is over already. which is insane. The Chicago Bulls, which have given the Wolves problems in the past, they're an annoying franchise, or annoying team to deal with in the past. Historically, they're not a very good team right now. I believe Denver is 4-1 in their last five, but they recently lost to the Suns, which is pretty interesting. So Phoenix kind of emerging here a little bit. The Bulls are 2-3 in their last five, defeating the Blazers like they did in 92. Michael Jordan's 6 threes in a row. That was funny, which was shocking for Marv Albert and Michael Jordan himself. Yes, 110-107, the Bulls beat the Blazers. Then they lost to the Rockets, who have been red hot, by the way, the Rockets' red glare, in Houston, the only road game for the Bulls here. 127-117, Boston Celtics beat the Bulls. 124-113, and the Bulls lost to the Washington Wizards. Michael's revenge, huh? Michael's revenge? Yeah, no, he probably hates Washington way more than he hates the Bulls, let me tell you. Things did not end well in Washington. I don't like the Wizards either, by the way, especially after that. 107-105, but I don't know if Michael helped himself either. Supposedly he wasn't the best. Yeah, I don't know. Let's move on. 125-99, butt-kicking of the Indiana Pacers. What's up with that? That's weird. Really? They beat the Pacers by 26? Wow, what is up with that? What's up with that? And yeah, Levine plays like 12 games a year nowadays, but looks like one of those great team efforts, multiple players with high 20s in this one, so good for DeRozan. One of those forgotten stars in the NBA because of the team he's on. Vucevic, another one. Yeah, nice acquisition from Orlando years ago. Anyhow, let's keep going. I'm very surprised to see Indiana get crushed like that, though. It's weird, and the Bulls are not that good. But I don't know, maybe it's desperation, and Indiana just had an off night, I guess. The Bulls are 35-38. They're not that bad, but the Pacers are better than them. Come on. Pacers are better than the Bulls, right? Right? I hope so. DeMar DeRozan, points are down from previous years, 23.3. Vucevic with 10.6 rebounds and 5.3 assists for DeMar DeRozan, who, again, is not a three-point kind of guy. He doesn't even attempt three threes a game. Zach LaVine has played only 25 games all season. Oft injured. It all started with that damn ACL with Minnesota, and then he never played another game here. He was traded for a butthead. Complete butthead. Where are the injuries? Injuries. Alex Caruso, ankle, March 28th. Dosumno, I'm probably mispronouncing it royally. Illness, that sucks. And these are March 28th. Julian Phillips' foot. March 14th, excuse me. The Bulls are 21st in points, 16th in rebounds, 19th in three-point percentage, 3rd in turnovers, 23rd in assists, okay. 6th in assisted turnovers, 17th in blocks. I can't imagine the Bulls being a great shot-blocking team. And tied with the Wolves at 11th in steals. The Bulls beat the Wolves in an obnoxious, frustrating 129-123 game in Chicago. I can't imagine the Wolves letting this one get away here. This is in the place that Michael literally built. Karl Anthony Towns at 33, Anthony Edwards at 38, and the Wolves still found a way to lose because Coby White got red hot. Vucevic with 24, DeMar DeRozan with 33, and Coby White went crazy. 33 points down the stretch to help the Bulls beat the Wolves. And that was left frustrating, and it pissed everybody off. I can't believe we lost that game. The Wolves were winning that game comfortably. Well, we were, yeah, the first half, we were just killing them. And then the game just deteriorated. The perimeter defense just sucked hard, and I mean hard. 36 points by the Bulls in the third, 32 in the fourth, and 14 in OT. And the Bulls emerged victorious as the Wolves just watched that thing get by. The Wolves will not watch the thing get by here. If the Bulls sweep the Wolves, what are you doing, guys? What are you doing? And I'm babbling forever again, but that's part of the fun of it, I guess. The Bulls will not beat the Wolves. The Wolves will emerge victorious, clamp things down a bit. And again, if you get swept by the Bulls, I don't know. I guess things happen sometimes. It's a bad matchup and this and that and whatever. But the Wolves will win this game. I can imagine Jaden McDaniels being a factor. Obviously, everybody's a factor. It's so important. You know, it's a team effort in a lot of these games. Anthony Edwards is obviously what he is. I can imagine another somehow I'm imagining Anthony Edwards, you know, it's going to be either he either gets like 40 or like 21. It's going to be kind of one of those type of games. But I'm going to go with 40. Anthony Edwards is going to kill the Bulls after that frustrating loss last time around. Houston Sprockets and Toronto Raptors back-to-back. Could have been the NBA Finals a few years back, but it wasn't meant to be. Said it was Golden State and Cleveland again, I think, if I remember correctly. It was one of those. You wanted to see, yeah, the Houston, yeah, well, that was when Chris Paul was on Houston, and damn, they were good that year. That first year he was there, oh, they were good. Oh, I wanted that team to win. The Raptors were looking good, too, but it ultimately didn't happen. Oh, yeah, Toronto did go to the finals and beat the Warriors. It was that year, 2019, when Klay Thompson had his massive injury. And he wasn't Klay Thompson back then. He was making his threes and winning three-point contests. Houston Sprockets, Cam Whitmore, knee injury, March the 12th. Sengun, ankle, March 11th. I'm guessing, is that precautionary? Because this team's been red hot. Tari Eason, not Easton, but Eason. January 2nd, leg, ouch. So that sucks. The Rockets are 15th in points, 3rd in rebounds, 22nd in three-point percentage, 25th in assists. A lot of their overall team stats kind of suck. 11th in turnovers, 21st in assisted turnover ratio, tied with us. 23rd in blocks and 9th in steals. So they're number 3 in rebounds. That's what they do best, apparently. The Wolves do lead the season series and have a great chance of sweeping. The Rockets, though, have been red hot. And maybe this is one of those weird games that we drop, unfortunately. Or Toronto, I don't know. We might drop one of these, and I freaking hope not. The Rockets have won all of their last 5 games, crushing Washington 137-114, the Bulls 127-117, Utah 147-119. Jeez. 110-92, and they even beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma. Thank you, Houston. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. 132-126. That's good. Go Rockets in that one. Thank you. Wolves, of course, 4-1 in our last 5. Sure, it's a winnable game, but the Rockets are on fire. So Rockets red glare. I don't know. Maybe the Wolves drop this one. I don't know. This might be the one. I got a feeling the Wolves aren't going to go 4-0. I mean, it'd be great if we did. What a wonderful thing. Wonderful. Sengun is averaging 21.1. His three-point percentage isn't real good. Only 29%, but 9.5 rebounds and 5 assists. Obviously, he's been super valuable. Jalen Green, very highly touted. 20 points, 5 rebounds. Jabari Smith. I thought he was a better shot blocker, but I'm getting him mixed up with another Smith back in the day. Josh Smith. The ancient one, Jeff Green, going back to the days of Josh Smith. And then he was with the OKC Thunder way back in the day when they went to the finals and such, and well before that. He was at the Celtics. He was part of the Ray Allen trade. That's how far back Jeff Green goes. But he was a rookie at the time. Didn't play a single game for the Boston Celtics. Went up with the Seattle Supersonics / Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think the Wolves, I got a feeling the Wolves might drop this one, even though we played so well against this team, though. So maybe not. Obviously, the season series has been very positive in the Wolves' side. I mean, just we've kicked this team's ass. So maybe it will be a sweep. This is Tuesday, April the 2nd. 122-95 back on Jan 5th. And Houston was good back then. Don't forget. Sunday, February 4th, 111-90. And I think we were coming off that frustrating loss to the Bulls, right? 111-90, just solid, you know. The Wolves have won these games by 20 points plus. So by over 20 points, almost 30 in the first one on Jan the 5th. So it's a bad matchup for Houston. So maybe the Wolves do kick their butts. I don't know. I'd like to believe so. It is a target center. Great opportunity for another sweep, and that'd be awesome. Anthony Edwards at 32 in that game. I think he gets something along those lines. It helped having Karl Anthony Towns, though, I'm sure, but Naz Reid should be a huge factor as you're getting, some similar, you know, you're getting that outside game and being able to drive to the basket. You know, Naz Reid does have some similarities to Karl Anthony Towns, and it's wonderful that we have Naz Reid in so many ways. A lot of people see him as vastly underpaid, believe it or not. I don't know. Can the Wolves sweep this week? I don't know. I mean, Houston's been so good. Okay, how about this? I'm going to pick Houston to beat us, but obviously, if we beat them, so be it. Maybe we don't beat the Bulls. Maybe we don't beat Denver tonight, but we'll see. I don't think the Wolves lose more than one game this week. I think it's just possibly one or zero up and coming. But I'm just going to predict the Rockets beat us. Maybe they take this as motivation. The Wolves come out and sweep them. That'd be great. But I'll just say the Rockets beat us. They've been red hot. Final score, one. Let's go with, yeah, they've been scoring. They've been scoring a lot. They're high offense for the most part. Well, kind of 15th, but I mean, they've been hot lately. Final score, something along the likes of 118 to like 115. It's going to be frustrating, but the Wolves will hang in there, but not win, I guess, even though I think the Wolves absolutely can win the game. Been a great matchup all year, but we'll see how things go. Toronto Raptors, 23-50. I just can't pick the Wolves to lose to the Raptors, even on a back-to-back. That'd be weird. It's possible. And did we beat the Raptors earlier this year? We did not. Interesting. So it could go the other way. These are both at Target Center. The Wolves could win both of these games comfortably. But I'll pick the Wolves to beat the Raptors. They're 18th in points, 19th in rebounds, 26th in three-point percentage, 5th in assists, though, 19th in turnovers, 6th in assist-to-turnover ratio, 17th in blocks, and 6th in steals. Yeah, Wolves can beat this game. We can win this game. It was very low scoring, 97-94. Incredible defense by the Raptors in that one. And the Wolves shot terribly. Oh, yeah, this was at the beginning of the season. Yeah, it was a very, very, very disappointing loss. The Wolves will win this game, and it's going to be completely different. The Raptors are 0-5 in their last five, so it's kind of like the opposite of the Rockets. We'll see. They've given up a lot, though. 123-89 to Sacramento, 123-103 to Oklahoma. Both home games, by the way. At Washington, you couldn't even beat them. 112-109. Lost to Brooklyn, again back home, 96-88. And 145-101 to the New York Knicks. 145-101. That is a 44-point. I know it's really difficult math, right? 44-point difference. Pathetic. Wolves beat the Toronto Raptors. Final score of 122-106. There's going to be a distribution of things. Jaden McDaniels will lead the Wolves in with 22. It's going to be one of those kind of games. But the Wolves will win comfortably. I picked the Wolves to go 3-1 this week. Maybe the losses to Denver instead of Houston. Or the Wolves sweep, which would be wonderful. Or it's another weird one, like the Bulls or something. But we'll see. Yeah, this is way back at the beginning of the year. It's so long ago, I forgot. It's like things have changed so much since that time. Everybody's like, here we go again. Another disappointing year like last year. Come on, guys. Get your head out of your ass. They did. With that, we'll take a quick break and hear from you. Are you looking for a really nice Timberwolves-related Facebook page out there with cool fans and a wonderful host? Well, look no further than Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, hosted by Scott Doherty. He does a great job. Scott Doherty's an awesome guy. And the fan base on there, obviously passionate about the Wolves, but also respectful of other people's opinions regarding the team. Check out the page. It's awesome. Wolfpack from Flip to Finch. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, Fan Interactione, if I can do that. Hope I didn't close everything. At TWolvesEX, and yes, you know what? I'll be honest. I'm not a fan of the whole, like, Barrero brought this up recently about calling the Timberwolves T-Wolves, that it's lame and dumb. I agree. But I kind of came up with that because of my other account was just sitting there, and I couldn't get it out. And I didn't know what else to do. Stuff wasn't fitting, and this one doesn't work, and that one doesn't work. It was really annoying, so I was kind of desperate and went with T-Wolves EX, so like Timberwolves Explosion. It was mostly just for abbreviation factor, not trying to think I'm so cool because I call them the T-Wolves. No, I'm not that cool. I'm not. sometimes I am, but just ask people at work. I'm not cool. They don't, yeah. I'll get off of that, though. Tene Brown. Oh, Houston and Oklahoma City is playing right now on NBA TV. I wasn't even paying attention. Tene and Vince. Tene Brown out of New Zealand. Vince Germano out of Australia retweeting the most recent post of the show. Thank you guys so much. Again, this is on X, Twitter, whatever. Levi Brown responding, this was in the Golden State game. Even though we are a lot better than the Warriors this season, it seemed too good to be true that the Wolves would sweep. Great to see. Yep, and they did get the job done. It really was good. I was ranting off and on. I said, swept the Warriors for the first time, and God knows. Yep, and we did, and it was a wonderful feeling. Wonderful. Continuing, I believe this is when, yep, Tanay is obviously pissed off at what's going on. Absolutely pissed off. Yep, this is responding to the whole, you know, spokesperson, you know, like the John Krasinski tweet. Mark Laurie and Ed Rodriguez. I'm going to probably jump into that in a second, too. But let's hear what, well, I'll read it again just to kind of get you back in the feel to what Tanay is pissed off here. And understandably. From a spokesperson on behalf of Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, we are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse. Yep, that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season. Tanay Brown, with the response, says, again, out of New Zealand, Taylor has been horrible from the start to the end of this franchise. Finally sees them coming back to relevance for the first time in two decades and wants to keep the team. Yeah, see? Yep. I guess we shouldn't expect anything less from him. Wouldn't blame the players if they wanted out of Min with Taylor. Ooh, that's interesting. Vince Germano with the response saying, I reckon you're spot on, mate. And Tanay responds with, valuation has gone up. Oh, yes. Still over $2 billion for sure. Yep, and then Tanay with the Garnett take here. Just a snake move from Taylor. If he stays, I might move on from the Wolves. Makes them hard to support. Ooh, that's a tough one. Vince Germano says, nah, you can't do that, mate. Stick with him. Stick with him. Tanay says, yep, and Tanay might not have liked my statement earlier about Garnett. You know, well, you've stuck with me ever since. I mean, you probably know him, you know. Garnett kind of lost me years ago. Like, not, you know, I don't hate him. I'm not a, you know, but I'm not going to worship him either. Like, some local fans act like he can do anything wrong. I think Tanay's more objective than that, but than some of those people out there. Tanay says, KG was my favorite player as a kid. I used to run around yelling Garnett after every rebound. Yeah, that's cool. That jersey not being in the rafters says everything about who Taylor is and why he should be out. Yep. Yeah. I understand that completely. Garnett should be in the Raptors. And the whole situation with Garnett, and it's complicated and it's hard to say what happened, but odds are, from what we're learning more and more and more and more and more and more about Glenn Taylor, I think there was some snake behavior going on. Yes, I do. And I don't like Garnett's attitude. I hate it. But Glenn Taylor he's interesting. Yeah. That's code word. That's Minnesotan for effed up in a lot of ways. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, that means it's effed up. Yeah. At least that's what Derek told me years ago. Lakers. Yeah, that would be again. Vince Germano says, I hear you, mate, but I feel like good times are ahead. Got to stick with them. I feel you. Yep. Oh, and I'm sticking with them. I'll be here doing Timberwolves Explosion and all that, but I'm going to try to give obviously objectivity. I don't worship the team. I didn't worship them when I was a ticket holder as well. I came in as a Rube fan, admittedly, back in 99. Rube fan. Not worship, but loved the team. Lived, drank, you know, ate and drank Timberwolves, you know, that type of thing. Bled Timberwolves, this and that. I came out very different, and that actually kind of helped me become a podcaster in a lot of ways years later. I came out objective. I came out, you know, willing to criticize in a lot of ways and not having this lovey-dovey feeling with the team anymore because of frustrations and seeing what was, you know, how things are being run all the way from McHale mishandling things, Garnett wanting all of his bros or dogs or whatever you call them on the team, and that helped screw up the Wolves with the salary cap. And you know, kind of like Bill Guerin locally, again, Brave the Wild, signing all these veteran players to contracts that are not helpful to the franchise. The contracts are not helpful, and the players haven't done a gosh darn Mickey frickin' thing. They've made the playoffs and lost. That's basically what they've done, first round. And that's kind of how I saw the Trent and Hassel, Troy Hudson type of moves. And for people to say that's not Garnett's fault, fine. But the franchise was catering to Garnett in making those moves. So indirectly, it kind of is. Kind of. So that's kind of where my frustrations came out over the years towards the whole enchilada. Glenn Taylor, McHale, Garnett. All three. All three of them had a hand in, you know, the frustrations during the, or, you know, after, particularly after the fantastic 03-04 season. All three of them were a factor in it. Taylor and Garnett more, yes. Or, excuse me, Taylor and McHale more so. But Garnett a bit as well because, well, it's too bad that Taylor, it's too bad that McHale couldn't be like, you know, we have to go in a different direction. We can't just re-sign all these players to long deals. And it's funny, though, how good those players were because they're in their contract years immediately afterward, conveniently, like Hudson. Of course he got hurt. Of course he did. And of course he didn't come back forever. And when he did, he was a terrible player, frankly. Some of you love him. I didn't. He was terrible when he came back. All he did was jack up stupid shots and missed. And missed. And Trent Hassel just sucked after he got that contract, after we matched the Portland offer. We should have said, you know, thank you, Trenton. Good luck in Portland. Period. I mean, it is what it is, you know? It is what it is. The problem is, again, we were salary cap strapped so much that, again, those were salary cap exception type deals. So it's like, it was almost kind of like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, you lose him, and what do you do to replace Trenton Hassel? But I don't know. I think they could have found a way to replace Trenton Hassel. Maybe somebody younger that's actually better for the same amount of money or less, especially if it's a rookie contract. Oh, but no, we had to sign Joe Smith as well, you know, that type of thing. Anyhow, there I go, and then, you know, to an illegal deal and all that. That was fun. That's Taylor there. That's Taylor's fault, 100% on that one. Oh, yeah, that's Taylor's fault. Taylor's fault on that one, 100%. And that's when he became, that's when he went from, like, the franchise savior, taking them from moving from New Orleans and happening to be the owner when Garnett was drafted and became a, you know, franchise player. You know, and all that. And I don't know, he was a better owner than Marvin Harve, you know, and again, kept the franchise here. But after that, that's when the bumbling idiot of Glenn Taylor came to the surface. And really, it's kind of been similar ever since. So, no, I'm not a Glenn Taylor worshiper, but I'm not going to just point all fingers at Glenn Taylor. The fingers need to be pointed around to a couple other major individuals during the course of the Garnett era. Yeah, has to. I mean, even Flip wasn't a perfect coach. God rest his soul. Good coach, but you often hear from Detroit fans, they didn't like the way, you know, all that jump shooting and all that. You know, it wasn't the best either. So there I go on and on. But that's part of the discussion, I guess. So really appreciate all of you. And, of course, when it comes to Glenn Taylor, there's so much to say because it's, you know, 30 years. He bought the Timberwolves in 94. I'm old. And some of you are as well, unfortunately. I'm old. Oh, I'm old. What was I, 94? When all that happened, I think it was ninth grade, right? It was like the summer, 8th and 9th, 94. I think that's when all that Taylor stuff happened. And I remember saying, we're lucky to have him. No, that was 8th grade. It was way back. It was like almost 93-ish still. It was early 94. Yeah, I was still 8th grade. Enough about me. But what a wild, crazy thing. And the other crazy team, you know how the Rockets have been on fire. How about them Hawks lately? Jeez. Rockets, Hawks, NBA Finals. Forget about Boston, Denver. Jeez. Rockets and Hawks, NBA Finals. Jeez. The Hawks have been killing people. Absolutely smoking them. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't. They beat the Celtics. They beat other teams. But, yeah, sorry. It's been a long one. But there's a lot to say. And, of course, there's a lot to say when things happen like this. And the Wolves did go 3-0 this past week. So, and you have a game against Denver tonight. So, yeah, go get them, guys. With that said, have yourself... Please, if you could help the algorithms of this show... it would be a great help. 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts. Spotify and others, and even YouTube, liking them on YouTube. They are audio podcasts. They are not videos, even though they're quote-unquote videos on YouTube, but it is an audio podcast with the logo. That's the only video part, so yeah. Just a heads up. Of course, this show is now on YouTube Music as well, because Google Podcasts is ceasing operations on April 2nd. So make note of that in case you're using Google Podcasts for this second here at the end of March here. YouTube Music is taking over from Google Podcasts, and this show is on YouTube Music. With that said, thank you so much for listening to the show. Tell your friends about it and share it and retweet it like those of you that have. And I can't thank you guys enough. God bless you so much. Take care, and we'll talk to you in a week.